told that the angel revealed important information to Joseph. Joseph had found out that Mary was with child, and he assumed that she had somehow been unfaithful to him. And as the scripture says, because he was a righteous man, in the sense that he was a good man, he decided to quietly divorce her in such a way as to not bring disgrace upon her. But that's part of what the angel said to Joseph. The angel also said to Joseph that this child that Mary is carrying is in fact not your son. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child is not your son. This child is God's son. And then the angel says to Joseph, you shall name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let me say something about that name, Jesus. It means, literally, Savior, Yeshua. And the purpose of this child, born in Bethlehem and lying in a manger, the purpose of this child is to be the Savior, the one who will save the people from their sins. He will grow into a man who is a teacher, a miracle worker, and the one who knows what his purpose is. He will say at one point, I have not come to serve, but to be served. I have not come to be served, but to serve. And then he said, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus understood fully what he was all about. And he became Savior at two points in time. He became Savior on a hill outside the walls of Jerusalem when he was led to a place of crucifixion and he was crucified. And we think of the pain and the agony that he went through on the cross, and we have some pictures of that. But that, in fact, does not begin to describe the real anguish of Jesus. For not only did he suffer the consequences, the physical consequences of crucifixion, something else happened, something unseen, something of God. On the cross, God Almighty put on Jesus all the sins, all the guilt, all the shame that had been and ever would be. In that point of time, all of that was compressed into this tiny moment. Jesus on the cross. And in that way, Jesus became Savior. He took upon himself our sins. But I said there was two points in time. One point was then at the cross on Golgotha, this hill of crucifixion. But the other point in time is when we trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. When that happens, the circle is completed. Salvation comes to us by trusting in, believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and understanding that we need that sacrifice. But the angel also told Joseph another bit of information, another name. Although it's not really a name as such, I don't know that Jesus was ever called in the Gospels, was ever called by, addressed by Emmanuel. But the angel says, they shall call him Emmanuel. God with us. It's interesting, there's no verb in that little phrase, in that word, that translation. It's just God with us, which means it's true all the time. It's not just true in the past. It's not just true in the future. It's true all the time. God with us. Some years ago, about 8 years ago, Judy became the nanny for our first grandchild, Willow. And since we had not had any children in our household regularly for some time, we needed to buy sort of supplies and tools to do this. And the main place we bought supplies for this was Goodwill. We would go there and buy toys, and Judy would bring them home and clean them up. But the thing we especially bought at Goodwill were books. One day we were there, and Judy found this little book she thought would be good to read to Willow. So we did what we always did. We brought it home. Judy cleaned it up, and then she put it in Willow's room. And then the next day, as always happened, Willow came to our house, and she went to her room, and she surveyed everything that was in the room to see what might be new, and she spotted that book. Picked it up and brought it to Judy, and she and Judy sat on the bed, and Judy read her the book. I don't remember the title of the book, but I remember what it said. It was a book that page after page would say, God is in the stars. God is in the wind. God is in our home. The theology wasn't great, but for a 2 or 3 year old, it was fine. And then Willow asked a question. It was not a question we had anticipated, but thinking back on it, it would be a logical question for a 2 or 3 year old. She listened to Judy for a bit, and then she asked, "Where, Gog? Where, Gog? Where's God?" She was seeing the stars. She was seeing the trees. She was seeing the flowers. And Judy was saying to her, God is. She wasn't seeing God. Where's God? Judy told me about what had happened. And I remember thinking to myself, that's not the last time she's going to ask that question, probably. It may be that there is someone here tonight that is, in this moment in their life, asking that question. Where's God? It may be that someone here has been to their physician and has received a diagnosis that is dreadful and a prognosis that is fearful. It might be that someone here has discovered that a child in their home is addicted to drugs. It may be that someone has gone to work and found out they don't have a job anymore, but they still have a family to provide for. Recently, Judy was in the kitchen, and she was weeping, and she was looking at this picture of this little girl, and I think it was in Somalia, and this little girl, I don't know how old she was, she had large, luminous eyes, and a body that was skin and bones. And the report was that this child had died as part of a famine, because she could not get a ride, transportation, to a source of food, a food distribution point just miles away. And she had died. Judy looked at that, and she was thinking to herself and said out loud, she's with Jesus now. But I wonder what her mother said. I wonder if she wondered, where's God? Where's God? The answer to that question, where's God, is ultimately, essentially, eternally answered in Emmanuel, God with us. In that title, in that name, God is saying to us, whatever happens, whatever you go through, whatever comes upon you, whatever pain, whatever loss, whatever anguish, I am with you. We might say to ourselves, well, that's kind of an empty promise. I mean, how do we know that? You know how we know it? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus went to the cross and took upon himself all that guilt and shame and sin, and he did it because he loves us. How do we know that Emmanuel is true? Because of what Jesus has done for us. Where's God? Where God? I tell you where he is. Where he was, where he is. He was in that manger. God Almighty was in that manger. And God Almighty was on that cross. And God Almighty in Jesus Christ is in your life if you trust in Jesus. And he will never, ever leave you. Let's pray.